Words can never be enough to express how I feel for your support this past couple of weeks, episode after episode. If you're a new listener, you're highly welcome to what's about to be your favorite parenting podcast, NurtureBox. My name is Bumi, your host as usual. Today, we'll be having something slightly out of the norm. I'll be chatting naturally with a friend of mine. She's a mom, an entrepreneur, and has a YouTube channel called Kemi's Journey. I don't need to tell you her name again, right? I thought so. I've been stuck on it since day one. I'll be telling you more about what this channel is about before the end of today's episode. So you want to stay to the end, trust me. Christmas is just about a week away. And all I want for Christmas is your subs and reviews. Yeah, it only took about a minute to do that. And now to today's business. Kemi, welcome to NurtureBox. Thank you for...
It's so nice of you to have me. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Like I said earlier, we'll be discussing something interesting today. Probably it's a bit controversial. For some people, they may think it's controversial, but I just think it's one of those topics we shy away from. I shied away from it for a very long time before I decided to say, I can't run away from this. Yes. So we'll be discussing that today. And we've just been having a good chat. We'll be reminiscing on some past events and having a good laugh, generally. So to get right into it, Kemi, there's this quote.
Yes. Can you say that again?
I was about telling you something.
Okay, no, I'm just here, just enjoying your introduction and still battling in the euphoria of your hype. I'm just enjoying your I follow your podcast, and I mean, you're doing great. I just want to say, guys, to please listen up for her, watch out for her. She's an exclusive one to watch out for. So wow. I'm just awesomely, like, super excited and elated to be here.
Thank you for the support. Okay, so I was telling you that I recently came across a quote, and the quote says, I just don't trust anything that bleeds for 5 days and doesn't die. And I'm like, that's superpower, baby. Anything or anyone that bleeds for 5 days and doesn't die, man. Superpower.
Oh my goodness.
So funny. Very funny, but well, that's true. So it that is, brings me to my first question for today. And guys, even though Kemi is the guest, it's like a chat, like I said. So I'll be asking questions, but I'll also be answering the questions myself. Mm-hmm. So it's not just Kemi within all the talking. The topic, by the way, of today's discussion is called Code Red. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening and you don't know what Code Red is, you will find out shortly. And if you already do, well, we are in this game together. So,
yes, we are.
So Kemi, how and when did your Code Red journey start?
Oh my gosh, do I have to use the word Code Red? Okay, so let me just follow through it, if I can follow through with it. My journey to Code Red, I think mine started pretty early. I'm one of those early birds that had, like, you know, early puberty signs and symptoms. Like I say, it started at 9.
Wow.
Yes, I started my Code Red at 9. That was pretty early and scary. I don't think my mom was expecting it that early, because she had to do her talk after it had started, you know. So I wasn't prepared for nothing, and it started when I was in, I got into school pretty early. I was in GSS 1, high school, like the worst. I just got up and, you know, people were like, you know, like, oh, you're sick, you know, that kind of embarrassing.
Yeah.
The worst ever. When I say the worst. And I was shy, I was very timid. I mean, a 9-year-old in just one, I literally felt like I wasn't supposed to be there. Everybody else was bigger than me. But for some reason, I just, you know, had this fast development of boobs and everything. So, and nothing had prepared me. Imagine a kid at 9, nothing prepared me mentally for it. Like, my mom, I just tell her that she did me wrong for that. Like, she wasn't prepared. Nobody expected it. It was just like shortly after I started high school. So they had taken me to the nurses, the sick bay, or what's it called? And then, you know, get me a sanitary pack, because most of my mates too weren't, like, equipped for that. So yeah, so that was my first encounter with the code red. That was my first encounter. I don't know if you have a follow-up question or if I might just go and tell the story of how my mom did the talk, or we'll get to that part.
Okay, I think we'll get to that part. Mm-hmm. So, because I wasn't even expecting this, you know, I wasn't expecting your story to be this
way.
Because there are some questions already.
I know.
There are some questions I already have in mind, and I'm like, okay, so that happened. Okay. I was thinking that out of the both of us, that would be the early bird.
Are you serious?
Because I started at 10. I was 10 and a few months. I was also in GSS 1. When you said it, I was like, oh, she's my big sister.
9 is pretty early.
Wow. So I started at 10, but good for me. I started
and
at
even 10 is what some people also consider as early.
Exactly. So 9 is like, nine is like the mark, like, okay.
Yeah, still like, you know, when you are not even expecting it, you're not even up to the 2-digit number, like
exactly.
9.
Exactly. Wow. And mine was even good because I started at home. I can't remember. I can't remember if it was.
That's amazing. Yeah. What are you talking about? You had it all rosy.
Really?
Like a red rose. Your code red is a red rose.
In a box. In a well-packaged box. So,
oh my goodness.
I can't remember if it was a weekend or we were on holidays. I can't really remember. But I woke up that day and I was like, I was the youngest in the house. Anyway, my mom wasn't around. It was my grandma, my uncles, and my aunts who were like, I think the youngest in the house besides me, then she'd be like in his 20s. So that morning, I woke up and my aunt, she makes my hair for me. That's during the holidays. So she was supposed to wash my hair for me that morning. Then I have my bath. Then probably she makes the hair in the next couple of days. And, you know, I was like, I was the child in the house surrounded by, you know, my uncles. We play a lot and all. So that morning I was playing with my uncle. My grandma was there, my aunt was there, tickling me and all that. I was just, you know, like, oh, baby of the house kind of treatment. Mm-hmm. Then my aunt was like, okay, it's time that I should come so that she can wash my hair for me. And I was wearing shorts. Probably I was feeling sticky, but I didn't know. You know, like,
yeah, child now, lack of experience won't prepare you for all the signs.
Exactly. So I got to the bathroom and she was like, okay, I should take off my clothes. So when she's done washing the hair for me in the bath and the tub, I'll just, you know, have my bath. And then I took off my knickers. She was like, she said it in Yoruba, like, Bumi, what's that? I looked at her like, what? She said, Bumi, you started. I said, started what? She just told me to wait. Immediately, she ran to get my grandma. Your daughter has started though. That's how mine started. So let me come back to you. When you now, okay, you went to the sick bay, they gave you sanitary towel and all that. So how were you able to manage, you know, everything? Then you got home. How did the sermon start? Because I call it sermon.
Yeah, sermon. I feel like my experience was very traumatic for me, and that kind of prepared me into what I, you know, had envisioned I would do to my daughters. But to answer your question, I had like the worst day ever. That was probably like my most horrible day in school ever, because I cried all through. I wasn't prepared. I wasn't like mentally, physically. I was like, what's going on? Why is everybody like just surrounding me? And the nurse like, you're telling me how to put on the pad, like I'm lying around my panties and everything. And you know, nurses where we come from, Africa as well, they are pretty dramatic, just like our African mothers. So she was like telling me all the old things, like giving me information that I really wasn't prepared for coming from her. So and then I got home and my mom was a working mom. So before she got home, it was like pretty late. I cried my eyes out, slept off. And when she came back, I told her what had happened. And then the conversation turned into, that look. Sorry, I had to clap. But yeah, that's to tell you like in emphasis. She was like, look, no man must touch you. This is a sign that no man, you mustn't even have a boyfriend. Like, this is a sign that if a man should just touch you, like, pim, you're going to get pregnant. That is just it. Like, she didn't even sugarcoat it. She was like, hey, you said your period. Said you like, I done something wrong. She's like, how can you even start your period? Like, okay. You know, she's like, oh, number one, a guy shouldn't touch you. And this is a sign that you're now matured enough to have a baby. So if a guy should just touch you, him, you're going to get pregnant and you're going to have a baby. So which completely traumatized me and affected my relationship with guys. Like, I was avoiding any guy in school. Like, don't even use your shoulders to brush me or whatever. because I'm not about to get pregnant for you, you know. So that was just, that was my experience, you know. That was it. Like her talk wasn't the most adequate. It's not like not everybody's well informed that, you know, we're doing things right. Like, she was just like, number one, no guy has to touch you. Number two, you can get pregnant if any guy touches you. Mm-hmm. Number three, be prepared for pregnancy and taking care of the child. Number four, you know, but she was just like going on about the negatives, and then she went on to tell me, oh, it will stop. Okay, the most important thing was dealing with the cramps, because I had, like, you know, the worst type of cramps ever. So that was the part that she focused on, trying to get me, you know, pain relievers to take and what to do, how to soothe the pain. So that was it. That was just it. That was my story.
I can imagine for a 9-year-old, that must have been pretty traumatic. Like,
it was.
All that information, I didn't mean you had been prepared, like you said, for it before it happened. It's a different thing. But it's like, the thing just hit you hard and you're not hearing all those things. It's like, God, as my life comes to my head.
You are right. Started. I feel like to get to the point, I feel like most African moms just tell you, like, the bad side of it. They don't tell you why it happens, how it happens, you know. They're literally just like traumatizing you with all the negatives of, if you do this, you just get pregnant. They don't tell you, okay, why does your period come? Like, I wasn't even prepared for that. And I don't think even she too was prepared. So I think that's why, that's another issue. That's what we're here to address.
Yes. So I think for me, it was just the same thing. So that day, my aunt went to get the pads, and, you know, she was like, this is how I'm going to wear it and all that. And I was just nodding, like, okay, what's happening to me? I think I just had to figure it out myself, that, okay, this is something that happens to every woman at some point in time. The next thing she started telling me was, a man must not touch you. Both of them, like, hey, if a man touches you, you get pregnant, too, you know? You have to go to school, you have to be well educated, don't let any man deceive you, don't. And I'm like, okay. So I was just taking it all in. It's also funny that even when my mom came back, because she wasn't around at that time, when she came back, and then I kept it so much to myself that I even had a cousin that was staying over at our place at some point in time. I think then I was 12 by then, and she was about 10, 11. We sleep on the same bed, in the same room. You know, I was so careful about it that she never found out. The only time she found out was like few years down the line, when she started hers, and she was like, oh, that's me, I've not started. Then I'm older than her, I've not started. And everybody was like, what? I started along.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And we stayed under the same room for like 3 years. She did not know. So even when my mom came back, she didn't know for a long time that I had started my period. But the thing there was that whenever I was on my period, I don't know, it was just a habit for me. I can't sleep on my bed. I just feel more comfortable sleeping on the couch. My mom called me the next morning. That's the only particular day that it happened. She called me to her room and she was like, okay, I just heard you started your period. So you started your period. And I nodded gently and she was like, okay, hope you know that a man was not touching. I said yes, but in my mind I was like, okay, why is she telling me this? I've heard this all over again, and I know it's by heart. Like, what is she telling me? And I think by then I just knew it, that okay, this imam was not touch you was not really it, was not what it was they said it was. Because something happened to me few months after I started my period. I think maybe 6 or 7 months after, I already knew how to calculate it and all that. I knew that, you know, even though it doesn't come, it wasn't regular, I knew within this period of time it would come. But I didn't see my period for like a month plus.
Wow.
And then I was...
Are you serious?
I was still 10. I wasn't yet 11. I was confused. What's happening? I didn't express my fears to anyone. What's happening? But I was not like, okay, is it because this boy is sitting beside me in class? Is it because... Yeah, but I don't think I can get pregnant like that. I was, you know, it was something that I was bothered.
I don't think I can get pregnant like that.
As in, I kept telling myself, okay, I didn't do anything wrong, so I can't get pregnant. Because the way they made it sound, like, you know, if you have to do something bad and you get pregnant. So I was like, I didn't do anything wrong. The day my period came, I was like, God, I thank you.
Are you kidding me? To have that experience at such a young age, what?
Imagine. So when my mom was now telling, giving her own sermon, I was like, this man has come again. No, I've passed this stage of this sermon. So that was it. At least, well, we can look back and laugh about it right now. That's what matters.
You can.
So, like you said, your own embarrassing moment started on the very first day. Was there any other time besides that you were embarrassed based on?
I think for me, I grew up with brothers. I don't have a sister, just boys around me. Two older brothers and one younger brother. So, in fact, I pretty much had guys living around the house. But I wasn't always the best person in terms of making sure that, you know, my pad was well put together, or that I was in the right position and wasn't shifted. So, yeah, I woke up and I would wear, you know, all the wrong colors to bed, because I was like, this is not about to change my, I'm not about to change my life because I said my period, you know. So I think I woke up and then I was staying and my brother was like, what in the world? And then I went out to the house and I was sweeping. Like, we had like a compound, like, you know, front of the house, front of the gate. I was sweeping outside and I was bent over and using a broom to actually sweep. And, you know, this is a road where you have neighbors. I lived in a close where, you know, you would have neighbors. So I was bent over sleeping and my brother, you know, went to get bread or something for the house and saw me. I was screaming. He was so mad. He was like, what? Oh. Look at you. Oh my God, this girl, you're so dirty. Here, look at your blood. What's this now? What's wrong? Come on, get it. You now came out to sweep and everything. Look at everybody just looking at you. And he was so like embarrassed for me. Nobody had seen me, but he was just mad that I didn't notice and I bent over and I was sweeping and I was carefree. You know, they used to have a thing for me. They thought I was so much of a tomboy that I didn't care about, you know, my looks or whatever, looks my features. So he was so upset. So that was pretty embarrassing for me. Like, anytime any of my brothers would see me staying in the house, around the house, they'll be like, what's this now? What's this? Do you need to yap you or whatever? So I think those were the times that was pretty, pretty embarrassing for me. And I was like, actually genuinely wishing that I wasn't a girl. I was like, why do I have to be the one to go through all these embarrassing moments, you know? So yeah, that was pretty much it for me. Those were the only instances that I felt, I didn't enjoy that.
I can imagine. But guys, before I continue, have I mentioned your YouTube channel? Have I?
I think you did.
Yeah, I did. But let me just mention it again. It's Kevin's Journey. And like I said, she discusses fashion, lifestyle, workout, and all the likes. So that you guys can know that Kemi is very concerned about her looks. I'm telling you, you would drool when you go to her page. Oh, so she's a fashionista. I can say that proud, with my shoulders raised high, and I'm not trying to hype her because I know how she's my friend. So please, guys, Kemi is not the tomboy you used to know.
So yes, Kemi has evolved. Yes,
she has evolved. She has stepped up
from that tomboy. Oh my gosh, the way I've evolved, even me, I'm startled.
Because even me, as you were telling the story, I'm like,
I was a tomboy in every sense, sagging my trousers. In fact, even my mom had to call me to order that. It's like, you don't want to get married in the future. My brothers used to tease me that, look, they called my mom one day and they're like, mommy, you think you have a daughter? We are all boys in this house. Just forget about you having a daughter, because I saw your daughter bouncing on the road like a boy, like a scout.
But would they blame you? They're surrounded by boys.
I was.
Surrounded by boys, so they won't blame you. Because even me, I was not surrounded by boys. I had that tendency. Mm-hmm. There was a time I liked things that had to do with, you know, I wanted to dress and look, you know, like a guy. Not like a guy,
but like that easy breezy life.
Exactly.
Like, you know,
no problems.
Yeah.
So I get it, but again, we thank God. We thank God for
that we
for,
evolved,
for
right?
Growth.
That the feminine side came out to play.
Exactly. We thank God. So that's about that. You've told us the story of how it all started, how you know, you were traumatized by certain experiences, how you were not prepared for it. And you know, for a period of time, I'm sure that it would have taken a few years for you to actually get used to this new life that you were living. Now that brings me to this question. Now guys, this is where we're going for today. You have two daughters, right? Based on the experience you had when you entered into puberty, and you did so quite early, how has that influenced how you intend to raise your daughters, how you intend to prepare your daughters for their own time?
Now that's a great question. And to just reiterate it, just for those listening that, you know, probably don't know, I have like a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old. She's 6, actually. And that's actually a perfect question, because I started my education, I started with my 9-year-old first, and I always make sure that my 6-year-old is present when I'm having those conversations, because you can never have it too early. And I believe in life, based off of my experience, you can never be too prepared. So I started having a conversation, and I feel like my first daughter is kind of like me. I said developing all the, you know, the little breast structure coming out and all. So I started to have the conversation pretty early with her, because I noticed that she's quite, I don't want to say curvy, because that's too intense for a 9-year-old, but you know, when she just has like those body structures, like when we go swimming, you know, with little boys around, I can see their eyes on her, you know, when she's wearing her trunks. So I was like, okay, number one, I need to sit up and start having these conversations on time. So she's also like said to develop, you know, all the signs of the puberty in terms of, I mean, this is a parent channel, so I feel like I'm comfortable saying this, like, you know, all the hair around, and like I said, the breast and everything. So I said to myself, 7-year-old, I said to, you know, drop instances. I was like, okay, these are signs of puberty, but I didn't go, you know, dive straight into it. At 8, I actually had a sit down with her, and I told her, you know, what to expect. I said it by using pictures, and I didn't prepare for it, but anytime I would see, like, maybe just, I'm just, you know, doing some research, I would see this and be like, okay, I think I need to have a conversation with her. I'll just show her pictures that, you see this girl, like, maybe we'll go to a party and I see a 10-year-old. I'm like, okay, you see that? Her breast, like, you know, she should start wearing, you know, like a little bra top, that kind of thing. And I was like, you know why her breast is coming out is different from you? Then her chest used to be flat. So when I see little girls that started to develop that a little bit of more nipple / breast, you know, that premature breast coming out, I'll say, okay, this girl is going through it, so don't be scared of it. It's something that is going to happen to you.
To you too.
Okay? So, you know, to sit up and, you know, start expecting it, because you're towards your age. It could be her friend's birthday party. Maybe friends that are older than her by a year or two. So I'm like, okay, you need to expect this. So we had this conversation. So I started at 8, and I would say she's adequately prepared, but I am still waiting for when it will eventually come. And I have, you know, some things in my mind that I'm going to do, like off of the research that I did. I know that I'm going to prepare like a basket, you know, as when she starts, I'm just going to give her a few things, you know, just like a basket to say, welcome you into the womanhood. You know, I'll just put maybe like a cute basket. It's just an idea, you know, with a new
dress
or mini pads, just some body spray and book chocolate, just to kind of pamper her and so traumatizing like it was for me. So I would say that my experience has taught me to kind of ease her into it, you know, and have the talk early. Early enough and prepare her adequately. So that's what my own experience has taught me to do for my daughter.
Wow, that's very nice. And the basket idea is really, really cute. Gone are the days that they'll be killing chicken. I don't know. I don't understand the concept behind that chicken.
You're genuinely cracking me up.
I don't understand. What has chicken got to do?
Anyone that did chicken, they pretty much tried though, because I don't think there was ever a festival for my own. Mine was more of like, I done something, oh my god, like, why did you go and get start your period early? Like, oh my gosh. I think it was more of fear for them. They were so scared of what could happen. Like, this girl could potentially get pregnant now that she's had her period. And they weren't just prepared for it. So I think that was the time, our generation anyway.
Yes, thank God for the eye-opening we have right now, and the
people have
knowledge. Exactly, yeah. We've stepped up, and it's really good. That shows that our generation will be able to raise, or are even raising, children better. So it's a good thing. And once again, I like that basket idea. So parents, once your daughters are nearing, you know, that stage, it's an achievement too. A child will cross from being a girl to being a woman. It's a do something special for that child. Let that child look back and always remember, okay, I was prepared for this.
Yeah.
They gave me a grand entry into this.
Yeah, they eased me into it and made me feel like, you know, it was really entering into womanhood. Something memorable.
Yeah. It's a nice one. I really like that. So it's very important to ease your girl child into womanhood. You've heard Kemi's account, you've heard mine. Yes, we may have laughed in between, but as you could tell from our various accounts, even though we tried to make, you know, a kind of joke around it, if a child is not prepared, you never know when it's going to start. You could say, okay, she may not even be developing boobs and she starts her period. It's very, very possible. So you never know when it's going to start. It has to do with the biology, the physical setup of your child, and you have no control over it. So just as we already know how important it is to start talking to our children about sex early.
Yes.
To start, you know, letting them know this thing so that they don't have to go learn it outside. The same way, when it comes to code red, prepare your daughters to avoid embarrassing. Because I didn't even know you had that kind of experience. So it could start anywhere. So how would the child feel? How would she be able to cope? Would she feel like, oh, something strange is happening to her? Or she would know that, okay, this is something I've been prepared for. So I shouldn't feel bad. I shouldn't feel something is wrong with me. Prepare them for that stage of their lives. So thank you very much, Kemi, for sharing your story with us and the things you've resolved to change. Thank you so much. Just a few things before we go. The name of this podcast, as you know, is NurtureBox. And I like to ask guests this question. What does nurture mean to you as a parent, as a mother? What does nurture mean to you?
That's actually a very great question, and I'm so glad that you asked. And you have a wonderful channel. I love that name, the name of your channel. So nurture to me means to care for, to encourage growth of something. And it's just the process of caring and encouraging growth or development for me, or someone or something. That's what nurture means. That's what it means to nurture to me.
Fantastic, fantastic. It's simple and covers a lot. So before we go, and I've said that like two or three times now, I want to ask you this final question, I think.
Yes, please.
Do you mind sharing with us something significant that you learned from your parents or from how they raised you that has kept you going or that has been a driving force for you, something that has helped you even in your own parenting journey?
Now, that's a great question, and I love that question. I don't know that we have enough time for it, but I'll try to make it as short as possible. So for me, I would say both my parents were working class, and from, you know, watching them parents, what I did learn was the quality of parenting, of parenthood rather. I learned from them that it wasn't so much about the quantity of time that you spend with your kids, but the quality of the time that you spend with them. Now, what that means is you can be with your kids 24/7 in the house, a stay-home mom or dad, and then not dwell so much on quality of what you're teaching, life lessons, or how you're impacting their lives. Now, you can be a working-class parent and then be so involved in their life that they don't even feel it. Not that they don't feel your absence, but when you're around, your impact is more. My parents weren't always, they would always go to work, and of course, we would go to school, we'll come back home, and then, but for every day, they always made sure that, you know, they spend time with us in the Word. Yes, we're Christians, and then they will spend time with us in the Word. They will make sure, they will ask you how your day went, and then they always emphasized on the way we interacted with people, how we treated people, even if they are up there, you know, in the society, that we try as much as possible to stay humble and don't look over someone, like don't be proud. I think it was just humility that I learned from my parents. I think my parents were certain people in the society, and they always made sure to keep us grounded. Like, that is not going to change who you are. Don't see a gate man or a security and just walk past him and not greet him or give him his accolades or spend time with him, because you don't know tomorrow, you know, the position he would be in to help you. And that there has saved my life multiple times that I can count, and has helped me go to places, because I will never forget to give accolades to a gate man that is right there, or to whoever it is that is the little staff that you, an average person will just overlook. I would spend time with the cook, the cleaner, and people are always telling me, like, you're just simply weird. In my office, they'll be like, why do you spend so much time with the screen? Because I'm like, these people are human too. And I learned it from my parents, because that was the one thing that people always said. My parents, if you ever read anything about them, they always emphasize on how humble they were. And that was just it. Like, my parents literally raised people and adopted people that weren't related to by blood. And they would still make sure that we did chores for those people. And then, I won't lie to you, when I was a teenager, it upset me. I was like, and they're my parents' house and they're even eating more than us. But that has led me through a whole lot of situations, and basically just learn to be humble and just, you know, be yourself and don't think that you're better than anyone else, regardless of the position that you're in. And also the quality of parenthood, that is time you spend with your kids, and don't just sit around with them. Make sure that in a day you are teaching them one or two things that are tangible life lessons. It could be from just watching news, or you guys are just watching a movie together, you watch something and you make sure that you draw out a lesson and give to them. My parents were also storytellers and teachers. My mom was a teacher and my dad was a cop, you know. And so they would always use their positions, whatever it was that they were in, and then, you know, just use it to always bring a life lesson anytime there was a family gathering, either from watching news or whatever it was. So that's pretty much the little that I can say without us, you know, sleeping here. So that's it.
Very, very deep. Guys, you must have noticed that Kemi was talking in the past tense. Well, That's because her parents are...
Yeah.
they've
to the other denial. Side. I didn't even notice that I was talking in past tense. So that's a good step.
And The beautiful memories she has about them, the life lessons that they taught her, is what's still sustaining her. Like she said, it's really helped her in life. It has really opened doors, paved the way for her. So what life lessons are you teaching your children? And it's not just about teaching them, it's not just about telling them what to do. Are you actually living this life? Are you actually practicing what you're teaching them? Because believe me, children learn more from what you do, what you show them, than from what you tell them to do. So please, you know, let's live a life worth emulating. Let's create beautiful memories with our children. Let's teach them life lessons that would help them wherever they find themselves in life. It's like they say, it's not about how much, it's about how well. What do you do when you're with your kids? What kind of memories are you creating? What would they remember you for? Even if you're still here on earth and they're 50 and, you know, you are 70 plus or whatever. Whatever it is, what would they always remember you for? What would they be able to say, oh, this is one thing that my father, that my mother taught me about life, and I will forever be grateful to them for. So that is it, guys. I have learned a lot. This was supposed to be like a fun conversation, and of course it was. was fun. I want to believe you had a good time, Kemi.
I definitely did. I enjoyed being here, honestly. I wish we could continue this fun topic.
So it's a fun conversation, but I'm grateful that we learned a lot too. There's something, you know, I'm sure listeners can take out of today's episode of the podcast.